What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/27, while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Here we are, closing out the third week of the investigation into the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie. Technically, if you're playing along at home, 19 days is where we are sitting right now. That's where we are, the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie. And if you've been following the coverage and really, really following it, not just skimming headlines, you've probably noticed something. The loudest story in the last 48 hours has been about DNA from a glove that may have absolutely nothing to do with the case. But we're not going to talk about that. So don't worry. Don't worry. We're going to, again, as we try to do here, break through the noise, because there's so much of it here, and try to look at it without hype, without speculation, without every random letter or demand that comes in from crazy people as being somehow connected. We're taking all of those pieces out. Every major outlet ran some version of the same headline. No CODIS match on the glove found near Nancy Guthrie's home. Sounds like a devastating blow in the investigation, right? No, it's not. It may kind of sound like you're back to square one, but that's not the DNA we should be focusing on. And it's not, don't worry, on an investigative area. Well, maybe we should be worried. But they are, I'll say that, they are focusing on the DNA that has been found in the house itself. We'll talk about that in a moment, because it's two different sets of unidentified DNA. Two different places. And this has been a point of confusion, I think, in a lot of the reporting, or just a lot of the understanding in general. Even if the reporting is flat on accurate, there's so much information coming at you, it's hard to decipher. DNA, or we're talking about two different people, all right? Two different profiles, two different people. Because according to them, as of now, the DNA profile on that glove does not match the DNA profile of whatever they got it off of in the house. Not the same person, at least according to them. Not surprised there. Wasn't expecting anything really to come out of the glove found 2 miles away. So let's go back to the house. All right. Back to the house. Back to that DNA. That glove might be completely irrelevant. It's a pair of black gloves that were found on the roadside. Yes, they visually resemble what the suspect was wearing in the doorbell footage, but that's a visual comparison of common black gloves, not a forensic link. The DNA says these gloves belong to someone entirely different than whoever left biological evidence inside Nancy Guthrie's house. Is it a complete nothing burger? Your odds are very high. But when you don't have much, run down the link. I'm not saying stop. Obviously, go see what you got. But is it likely to be of relevance? Probably not. So let's talk about what actually matters, because buried underneath all the glove coverage is the real development, and it's significant. Investigators received DNA from inside Nancy's property. It doesn't belong to her. It doesn't belong to anyone in close contact with her, and it's partial. It may be mixed. And it is now going to forensic investigative genetic genealogy, the same technology that caught the Golden State Killer after four decades of dead ends, the same tool that identified Brian Koberger in the Idaho College murders. It's a lead. And it could belong to someone that has absolutely nothing to do with this as well. Somebody passing through the house. Somebody who knows. Who knows? But it's important because they're going to try and figure out who it is. Why is it in her house? That doesn't mean the person that it belongs to did any of this. Could have been a gardener, and Nancy gave a cup of water to. We don't know the details of where this DNA was found or what it was on or why it's mixed or any of that right now. So it's all pure speculation. But it's something. But also don't hang your hat on it. So that's the big lead right now. That's the case right now. Everything else, the glove, the ransom emails to media outlets, the FBI, contacting Mexico, is noise. And I mean that operationally, not dismissively. Noise can look like progress. It can feel like momentum. But when you strip it all away and ask what actually moves this investigation forward, right now it's the DNA from inside that house and nothing else. And in terms of what they have, which brings me to the cartel theory, because it won't go away and it needs to be addressed with more than just a shrug. If you spend 5 minutes on social media in the last 2.5 weeks, you've probably seen it. Tucson is only 60 miles from the Mexican border. Therefore, it must be a cartel kidnapping. That's the argument. That's the entire argument. Geography, a measurement on a map. And I understand why it is appealing. Cartel kidnapping is a story that makes immediate sense. There is a structure, a motive, an organization behind it. It gives people a framework to understand something that otherwise feels random and terrifying. But here's the problem. Every single person in law enforcement or with direct operational experience who has spoken on the record about this case has either dismissed or significantly downplayed cartel involvement. Everyone. Brian Anton at News Nation reported on February 18th that multiple law enforcement sources told him the case shows no signs of cartel involvement. A retired Pima County Sheriff's Department lieutenant called the theory possible, but far-fetched. Former FBI agent Matt Cavanaugh told NBC News he sees no reason a cartel would target someone like Nancy Guthrie. His assessment was blunt. Cartel kidnappings target drug debts, rival operations, high-value economic players within the drug trade, not 84-year-old women in the Catalina foothills. Cavanaugh's read is that this was likely a homegrown criminal who didn't anticipate the national firestorm. His words, it got too big too fast. So there's that. Is it possible? Look, anything is possible right now. But just because it sounds the most exciting, the most likely that would be in a movie plot doesn't mean it's the direction of reality. But there's kidnappings around there all the time. Like, no, not right there. They're, get into Mexico, yeah. And there again, there's motive. There's usually reason for them. And reason usually involves money as well. And thus far, other than those shitty weird notes to TMZ that don't even come from the supposed said kidnapper. Somebody just has information for information that's going to TMZ to get it. None of it tracks. And then there's Sheriff Nanos, who I need to address directly because his voice has been all over this case from day one. Nanos told KNXV on February 18th that the investigators still don't know if this was a kidnapping or a burglary gone wrong. He's also said there's no evidence Nancy was taken across the border. Now, those statements may turn out to be accurate, but I want to be honest with you about something. Nanos has been contradictory throughout this investigation. He's made public statements that have been walked back or directly undercut by subsequent reporting or his own words. He's been out in front of cameras offering assessments while the FBI has been notably more measured and restrained. Public confidence in the sheriff's handling of this case is not high. And there are reasons for that. He's the lead official. He has the authority and his office is running point alongside the FBI. But I'm not going to stand here and quote him like he's gospel. And I'll tell you what he said. You can weigh it against everything else and decide for yourself how much stock to put in it. What I will say is that when you have the sheriff still openly floating, burglary gone wrong 19 days in, that tells you something about where this investigation is and isn't. Whether that's honest uncertainty or something else, I'll leave it to you. The people I put more weight on are the independent experts and the FBI sources who've spoken either on the record or on background, and what they're describing doesn't sound like a cartel operation either. Two officials briefed on the case confirmed to NBC News on February 18th that there is no evidence Nancy was taken across the border. The FBI did contact Mexican federal law enforcement, that's true, and it made for a great headline. But retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Jason Pack explained exactly what that means. When any disappearance occurs near the international border, certain federal protocols activate almost automatically, regardless of whether there's confirmed evidence the victim crossed. That's how he put it. It's procedure. It's a system working as designed. And it's not a lead. It's not a break. It's the federal government checking a box that's required to check. Now, look at what the doorbell camera footage actually shows and tell me where the cartel fits. One person alone, on foot, no vehicle in sight, wearing a ski mask, gloves, and clothing that investigators believe came from Walmart, carrying a 25-liter Ozark Trail hiker pack, a backpack that retails for about $20. And is sold exclusively at Walmart. Armed, yes, but wearing a holster in an unusual position that gun stores across Tucson haven't been able to identify. That's not how someone who handles firearms regularly carries a weapon. He attempted to tamper with the Google Nest doorbell camera at 1:47 a.m. He failed. The FBI recovered the data. Forensic expert Sarah McCollum made an observation that I think is underappreciated. She noted that the backpack was full. We did too. Not empty. Wasn't there to take things out of the house. Or if he was, it was going to be something small, which could track. He brought a lot of things with him, which is odd. Is that a home invasion? Is that inexperience? A home invasion is about what's inside. Drugs, cash, valuables. You bring an empty bag usually to fill it, wouldn't you? The person brought a loaded pack to the front door of an 84-year-old woman's home in the middle of the night. That's preparation for something else entirely, or utter confusion and inexperience. Cartels send teams. They use vehicles. They have logistics, communication infrastructure, and they make contact with the family immediately because in ransom operations, time is currency. You grab someone, you call the family, you name your price, you set a deadline, and you enforce it. It's transactional, and it's fast because every hour that passes increases the risk of law enforcement intervention. 19 days have passed. There's been no confirmed direct communication between anyone holding Nancy and her family. Nothing legitimate. None. Zero proof of life delivered to the people who would actually pay her. That's how the cartels work. They know that you're not just going to pay on a hope, on a prayer. They know you need proof. And they've provided none, because it's not they that likely have her. That alone should end the cartel conversation for anyone thinking critically about this, but it hasn't, because the theory isn't built on evidence. It's built on a feeling. And feelings don't solve cases. So where does this actually stand? The property DNA is now the entire ball game. Well, you have the Walmart receipts as well, but we haven't heard any sort of definitive matches there at this moment in time, at least not publicly. So if we're looking for something that is solid, could point to someone in that house, on that property, where that DNA came from. The forensic investigative genetic genealogy is going to be working by comparing a DNA profile against public genealogy databases. This is the sites you may use them yourself, or millions of people have voluntarily submitted their genetic information. From there, scientists and genealogists basically reverse engineer the family tree, triangulating on individuals who share DNA with the unknown profile. It's painstaking, it's powerful, and it has ended manhunts that lasted decades. C.C. Moore, the chief genetic genealogist at Parabon Nanolabs and arguably the foremost expert in the field, told NBC News she's extremely hopeful about the DNA from Nancy's property. She made a point that is worth sitting with. The fact that it may be a DNA mixture is actually more compelling, not less, because mixed DNA is common in violent encounters. And we know there was some kind of altercation. Nancy's blood was on the front porch. Here's the variable I want you to pay attention to, because it's going to matter more. Explain that if the suspect has deep roots in the United States and is white, identification through genetic genealogy could come in hours or days. The databases are heavily populated with that demographic. But if the suspect has is a recent immigrant or ancestry, or was born outside the U.S., the process could take significantly longer, weeks, possibly months, because those populations are underrepresented in genealogy databases. It's not as many have done the let's figure out where we're from game, basically. That creates not just a timeline issue, it's a diagnostic. If a result comes back fast, it almost certainly means a domestic suspect, an American with genealogical roots in this country. That's not a cartel operative in some far-reaching area of Mexico. That's someone local, someone from here. And if the result drags on or hits a wall, then at least opens a conversation about a suspect with foreign roots. But even in that scenario, you're still dealing with someone who executed an operation that looks nothing like organized crime. 400 investigators are reportedly working the case. The FBI has been canvassing gun stores across the Tucson area with a list of names and photographs, trying to match the unique holster seen in the footage. No hits yet. Walmart has turned over months of purchase records for the Ozark Trail backpack online and in store. Statewide, no breakthrough from that angle either. Google is still working to retrieve national Nest camera footage from other cameras on Nancy's property. And both Meta and Apple have offered technological assistance. The combined reward, as of this moment, exceeds $200,000. I'm going to level with you. I think this case gets solved in a lab, not in a gun store, and not by chasing theories built on zip codes. The property DNA could be the path forward. Everything else, the glove 2 miles away, someone else's DNA on it, the ransom email sent to tabloid outlets by people who clearly don't have Nancy, the breathless Mexico headlines generated, all of it is noise. It sounds like progress. It's not. The cartel theory is comfortable. I get it. It gives you a big, recognizable villain. It fits a narrative that already is in the cultural bloodstream. Border crime, organized kidnapping, crypto ransoms. It makes it feel like a movie, but the evidence doesn't describe a movie. The evidence describes one person alone in cheap gear who walked up to an elderly woman's door in the middle of the night with a full backpack and a plan that didn't survive contact with the doorbell camera. It's not an organization. It's an individual. And if that individual has a single relative anywhere in this country who has ever spit into a tube for a genealogy website, their anonymity has an expiration date. The DNA from inside that house is sitting in a process that has unraveled cases people have given up on for 40 years. It doesn't care about social media theories. It doesn't care about cable news cycles. It doesn't care what the sheriff says on camera tomorrow. It just works. And when it's done working, we won't need theories anymore. Hopefully. We'll see where it leads. And again, I have to caution, because just because it leads somewhere doesn't mean it's the person. All of it has to check out, but that's what an investigation is all about. We're sitting here, I think, grasping for a piece of hope that has more traction than it does, because it feels like everything we've been trying to grab onto here, you know, like the monkey bars when you're a kid, you grab onto them. You ever do it like when they're kind of greasy and slick? You're like, you just can't hold on. I feel like we keep grasping at them and everyone is like greased. Maybe this next one will have a little more. Hold on to the, and you can kind of reach up to the next one, but you gotta get past that first one. And I feel like we just keep. Now, maybe this first one isn't so greasy. Maybe that one isn't. Maybe this one isn't. We're having a real hard time getting past the initial steps, at least publicly. Let's hope there's more going on behind the scenes. It's hard. I know it's hard to have that belief, but there are certainly good people working this, despite the public-facing yahoos that are out there. There are good people working this case without a doubt, and they're working tirelessly and they're working hard. They can't help but that there's buffoonery at the top. Let's just hope they're able to get an answer soon. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack or on YouTube. We'd love to hear your thoughts on where you feel this is at right now. That's your somewhat anticlimactic update for the day. I wish there was more to give you. I wish there was other areas of hope to go and discuss. But I'm not going to sit here and get really excited about stuff that I know really doesn't mean anything. So, your thoughts in the comments section. We'll continue it there. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is. Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski is what our show is called. Find it and please press subscribe. We do greatly appreciate that. Until next time, I'm Tony Brewski. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino.
America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's Social Casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's Social Casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spin on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.